It's time for Sacred Conversations on WZMO. Marian pastors gathered around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Welcome to Sacred Conversations, pastors around a kitchen table having conversations. I am Pastor Adam Sornshai, pastor at St. John Lutheran Windfall, Cardington. I'm joined by my colleagues.
I'm Reverend Jennifer Bass of Epworth United Methodist Church in downtown Marion.
I'm Father Ed Chiquina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington.
Pastor Chuck Osmer at Bay Spring Wesleyan.
With Mother's Day around the corner, we thought it'd be nice to speak of Mother's Day and the importance of maybe the mothers in our lives as we reflect on that, but also how that intersects with our Christian tradition. There's rich tradition of the church as our mother. We might even point to spiritual mothers in our own faith journey. But also, being an ecumenical table here, Mary as mother of our Lord, and how that plays out in our different traditions. Father Ed, would you like to start by sharing Mary's role in the Catholic Church?
Big question, you know. We'll get into like the titles, why we talk about Mary as mother of the church or mother of God. But I think it really just starts with, you know, understanding what motherhood is. I think, you know, motherhood. Well, maybe even Pastor Jen could tell us a little bit more as a woman, what would be the role of a mother, but somebody who's, you know, nurturing and, you know, just has maybe a more sensitive heart towards.
Yeah.
You'd like to?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it is a joy and I would say maybe a challenge to be a mother in this day and age. I'll tell you what, though, I personally have not been blessed to be a mother. So I know that sometimes this day comes with a little bit of grief for some ladies out there who might be listening today. And it was just for some biological reasons that my husband and I aren't able to have children. And so that has never been a blessing in our lives. But I'll tell you what, I still love to believe that God works through me in nurturing and kind of mothering ways, especially for my nieces and nephew. And so in my own family, I do have some influence as a motherly role model and a godly woman, even though I might not have kids of my own. But certainly on Mother's Day, we honor all of the moms and stepmoms and grandmas and aunties and everyone who has been a motherly nurturer in our lives as we have matured and as we have grown in faith.
Yeah, so that's exactly why I asked you, because that's a great answer that, you know, you have the more deeper understanding of what motherhood is than what I could have explained. And, you know, there's that sensitivity of heart and, you know, just nurturing spirit of a mother. And so this is what mothers do, right? They take care of their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they nurture them. They have a deep love and they're selfless. So if that's the definition of mother, and so then we could say that Mary herself is the mother of the church. So the church is considered the body of Christ. And Mary, of course, was the mother of Jesus, who is the Lord himself, and he is God. And so as Mary is the mother of the Lord, and the church is the body of Christ, then she is, of course, our mother in that sense of nurturing us, taking care of us. And there's really so many scripture verses that I can think of the different ways in which Mary plays this role in bringing us closer to her son Jesus. You know, I think about even at the wedding feast at Cana.
Mm-hmm.
What does she do with her motherly spirit? Is she recognizes immediately this married couple who have run out of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nobody else noticed that. She's the one to immediately notice the sensitivity that of this couple, who would be quite embarrassed if at their wedding reception, you know, they ran out of wine. And so she's the first to notice. She comes to Jesus, her son, and she asks him, you know, or she just tells him, here's this simple fact.
They have no more wine.
They have no more wine.
Right.
Jesus kind of gives a response that maybe is more, we could say, is more theological and saying, you know, what is this to me and you, or my hour's not yet come. But the point is, it sounds like it's an objection, like any good mother. She doesn't even bother to respond to that. She just immediately just says to the servers, do whatever he tells you. Like, you know, I'm just expecting that Jesus is going to do what I want him to do. Right? And so that's kind of like a good motherly role.
That's so profound, actually. I've never really thought about that scripture in that light. Of course, Mary as the mother of Jesus and noticing that there's a need. But I'll be thinking about that long after we're done with this show today, because that's really beautiful.
We celebrate Mother's Day here in May. In the Catholic Church, May is the month of Mary, right? So sort of coinciding with Mother's Day, this spirit of motherhood and the role that Mary plays in our lives. So I can talk more about, like, okay, the role of Mary in the life of the Catholics versus others. But before we get there, maybe Pastor Chuck, any thoughts on motherhood in general and Mary as well, if there's any role that she plays in your congregation?
Yeah, the role of mother, I mean, is really important to me because it's interesting. Sometimes in the scriptures we get bogged down and, you know, the man has to be the spiritual leader of the house. And I would suggest in our house that wasn't the case. I would say that my mom was the main spiritual influence in our family. And without my mom, I'm not sure that we would have come to faith. Because
mm-hmm.
She's the one who was primarily responsible for making sure we had devotions. Man, she was a fantastic mom. And, you know, she had five kids. All of us are still in the church today serving in one way or another. Most people don't see that. And so I don't know what she did, but she did it right, you know. Mm-hmm. And so this day I'm like, man, even my wife said, I don't know, how did she do it? You know, like, try to figure that out. And I lost my mom to cancer like 4 years ago. And I think I've shared a little bit of that story, but the most beautiful moment for me was just being there with my mom. And I remember her saying to us, you know, God's going to heal me one way or the other. It's either going to be here on earth or in heaven. And so she lived out her faith, not just talked about it, but I mean, like, lived it out, right? So it was so effective in our life. And then, you know, losing her on that day I said, me and my dad were just sitting there because the other siblings had kind of come in. We knew it was going to be her last moments. They kind of left. And I told mom, I said, it's okay if you go. She took a last breath and she went. And she had a playlist of songs. And the last song that was being played was Amazing Grace. And so I just thank God for that moment, right, with my mom. And I think all of us still, you know, we're just still trying to draw into that, you know. And so anyway, so I know what my mom did for us. And when I read the story of Mary and all that she did for Jesus, you know, she was there when he came into the world. She was there when he left the world, right, you know. I mean, and it feels like Jesus had a special relationship with his mom. To even making sure that when he left that she was cared for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And even his approach, like, I think sometimes we read that statement that you were just talking about, like, he's like, woman,
yeah.
My time's not now. But it wasn't the way we think of somebody saying woman, you know.
Yeah.
It was actually a term of endearment, right, you know. And yet Jesus still honored his mom, right? I mean, the Ten Commandments say honor our father and mother, and it doesn't say if they always do what's right, you know. It just says that we're supposed to. And so even Jesus put that into practice in his own life, you know. It's like, well, mom asked me to do it, so
yeah.
I got to go do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, my time has not really come, but okay, let's do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she seemed to have a sensitivity to, okay, now's the time to
right.
start your public ministry. And so she
yeah.
is not afraid.
But she's also the one that tells him at one point, hey, you know, you don't need to do all that. Like, you know, she comes with the brothers, right? And and they try to get him to stop doing something for a moment, too, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
and stuff as well.
I think that's, is that right after he makes, he reads from the Isaiah scroll in the synagogue? Oh, no, that's, I'm sorry. Sorry, I think I'm thinking of something else. But I do know what you're talking about, Pastor Chuck. There's a moment when Mary and the brothers come and they try to convince him to stop talking like that and to calm down.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, Pastor Jenna, the story you told last show about your mother, you know, bringing you into the faith when you were 3 years old.
Yes, absolutely.
And the importance of that your mother played in your faith life.
Yeah, and just like you, Pastor Chuck, my mom was, is a spiritual powerhouse. And she just loves the Lord, and she really did. She led me to Christ, and she was the first person I told when I felt a call to ministry. And, you know, she is a pastor's wife. My dad, of course, is an amazing pastor as well. I guess I'm just mentioning the special significance of my mom mm-hmm. in my faith life.
Yeah, and my own mother as well, you know, was, you know, I mean, both my parents were Catholic, but my mom was the one that was, you know, very strong in making sure that, hey, we go to Mass every single weekend
mm-hmm.
and making sure that, you know, we live in a virtuous way, you know. So it was, I'm sure most definitely her prayers all throughout the years have been instrumental in, you know, helping us. And so, you know, certainly,
yeah.
You know, so, and thank you, Mom, for because that's, you know, that's.
I said my mom, she used to read devotions, and she would quiz us afterwards. And if we didn't know the answer, we had to read it again. So everyone was like, okay, pay attention, man. We don't want to be here all night, you know. So, but she would read that thing 3 or 4 times if we didn't know the answers.
Oh,
and stuff,
my goodness.
So, yeah.
So, and so many, many mothers are very instrumental in bringing us to Jesus. And I think in that sense, this is why we also say Mary is the mother of the church, is, you know, how instrumental she is in bringing, you know, many to her son, Jesus. So in the Catholic Church, you know, people can say, well, you know, there's so much emphasis on Mary in the Catholic Church that, you know, people can misunderstand and think, well, it sounds like you're worshiping Mary because mm-hmm. you're kind of elevating her over God or over Jesus, you know, or more emphasizing her more than Jesus. But, you know, she's the one who's constantly trying to bring people to her son, Jesus. And so...
Mm-hmm.
Even in our own church, so, you know, St. Mary's here in Marion, the official title of our church is St. Mary, Mother of God. And so we have this statue of Mary, and she's holding the baby Jesus, and she's actually looking, looking at the baby Jesus, and she's pointing to him.
Mm.
And so she's his mother, but she's pointing to him. So
yeah.
Saying like, really,
that's beautiful.
Really, just I want you to look at Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? And it doesn't mean that we don't still, you know, have a devotion to her, but, you know, in our devotions to her, she's always leading.
She's pointing to Christ.
Always pointing to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring up, so that's a different terminology. Mother of God is different than the mother of the church. So Mother of God is very specific terminology that the Catholic Church has used since the 4th century or 5th century.
Can you cite the Ecumenical Council?
Yeah, it was the Council of Nicaea, I think, or no, it was the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD. Yeah, so that's I need to be reminded of that. Yeah, Council of Ephesus in 431 AD. So that's that was the church actually trying to determine how do we understand who Mary is. And here's the interesting thing is the council declared that, yes, she can be called the Mother of God, precisely because it's pointing to who Jesus is. It was more of a defining moment of who Jesus is, because there was confusion about who Jesus is. There was a particular heresy that was going around by Nestorius, and he was saying that Jesus was, you know, he was kind of two persons. He was a divine person and he was a human person. And the church was saying, no, that's heresy, because if you believe that, it's problematic with when Jesus died on the cross, if he was only just a human being alone, separate from the divine person, then could his humanity have affected salvation for all of us when he died on the cross? And the church mm-hmm. says, no, he still had to have his divine person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only by that reality that of his being divine person that he died on the cross, even in his human nature. It's really theological, but it's his divinity that affected our salvation. So the church had to say Jesus is one person, he's divine, but he has a human nature.
Yeah, fully God and fully man.
Yeah, fully God, fully man,
mm-hmm.
human nature and divine nature. And so the church is trying to say that by declaring that Mary's Mother of God. The title Mother of God is really just pointing to the fact that Jesus himself.
I like the fact that you said too that like that statue or whatever is like pointing to Jesus, because it could be said of us we call ourselves Wesleyan, call yourself Lutheran,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You could say, well, we're honoring those men, but we would say those men are pointing us to Jesus,
yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You know what I mean? But yeah. You could look at it and say, aren't you really just, you know, honoring a man more than that, you know,
mm-hmm.
by your titles and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think any of you would say that, you know, yeah. if you're like a Lutheran, that you wouldn't say, well, we hold
yeah.
Luther up higher than Jesus.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's
Wesley.
What I'm saying, yeah. Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't say that about John Wesley.
Yeah.
John Wesley was a complicated man.
Yeah.
Luther was, too.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he had some issues with his.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that Lutheran insult thing that they have?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
it's
yeah,
pretty
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but
oh, yeah.
I bet
it was
it is
like on the internet for a while. I don't know if it even still there, but it was
yeah.
like this: you can plug something in,
yeah.
and it would regurgitate like an actual thing that he wrote, like
yeah.
insulting you back.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's very funny.
He was
a clever
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't
pretty
miss
funny.
Words.
Oh
yeah.
my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. So one of the things that you also mentioned, Pastor Adam, is that. The church is our mother.
Mm-hmm.
Talk
yeah.
a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that the church, like in Luther's Large Catechism, it talks about the congregation in the world, which is the mother that begets and bears every Christian through the Word of God, which he, the Holy Spirit, reveals and preaches, and through which the Spirit illumines and enkindles hearts that they understand, accept it, cling to it, and persevere in it. So so we look at the church's role through word and sacrament. Like in baptism, we're born anew, we're born again, right? Like we're hearing the word, right? That the church literally gives birth to new believers, right? And then we're nurtured in the faith
mm-hmm.
through the word and sacraments.
And so we can also we can almost picture the church like a mother, kind of holding our hand as
uh-huh.
we grow.
Absolutely.
All right.
And they're walking with us. And especially when we understand the church as not just providing the word and sacraments, but also, you know, embodying what we hear, what Jesus says in John's gospel, love one another as I have loved you, right? That loving each other, walking with us in joyous times and in times of sorrow, right? Like we were talking about mothers. When I lost my mother, who was instrumental to my faith as well, it was the church that walked with me in that grief, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the church that carries you in those times. The same thing when my father died in 2020. Again, the church is there. So when I literally, as an orphan now, even though they say that as an adult, but right? Like, I had no parents.
Right.
But the church was there for me
mm-hmm.
And still there as individuals, as if you want to call them surrogate mothers and fathers, but there to be there with me, walk with me,
mm-hmm.
guide me, and I could still lean on for those things. So we see the church as the people.
That is such beautiful imagery, and I have my husband Jared and I have reflected on that often. We have reflected on the fact that we don't feel like we have much of a hometown. In the United Methodist Church, pastors get sent from town to town, and so my dad got sent from church to church through our growing up years. And so I've been here in Marion for 10 years now, and this is the longest I've ever been in one place.
Mm.
And so this feels just as much of my home as any other place I've ever lived, maybe more so. I would say more so. One of the things I love about the church is that in my congregation, I feel like I have all of these surrogate grandparents and brothers and sisters who love us and they care for us. And like you said, they walk with us through all of the seasons and situations. And it is such a tremendous comfort because otherwise I don't really know where my home is. Does that make sense? So it's these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
beautiful.
Right. So it's definitely a church is a community, and,
mm-hmm.
And so this is why we wouldn't just say, well, the only thing that matters is, you know, Jesus and God, like just me and God alone or me and Jesus alone. Well, no,
yeah.
We need each other.
Yeah.
You know, and in the same way, we need, you know, sort of a maternity type figure
mm-hmm.
for us, and this is where we would say Mary would come in, and because you know, I was thinking, Pastor Adam, as you were mentioning your own mother passing away, John Paul II, when he was 9 years old, he had come home from school one day and he saw his father, you know, in the living room, and he was kneeling and he was, you know, just weeping, tears coming down. And he said, you know, Papa, what's wrong? And he said, you know, your mother has died. And immediately, his name was Carol at the time, when he was a little boy, he ran to the nearest church and he knelt down in front of the Blessed Mother statue and he just said to her, "You're my mother now."
Oh my goodness.
You know, so he had a sense of like this need for a maternal spirit to be with him.
Why am I crying? I'm such a girl.
Very sensitive heart. So, you know, so we do need, you know, others. So we're not in any way taking away from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
We're not taking away from God, but we do need, and Pastor Jen, as you're saying, we need a community. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus gives us to each other too.
Right.
I mean, at the foot of the cross,
yes,
the beloved disciple and his mother, he's like, "Hey, behold your son," right? Behold your mother, right? Like, and in some ways, like, I don't think it's an official teaching, but you can almost see a church being born in that sense, mm-hmm. right? Like that a mm-hmm. family of faith is being formed there. But I think Roman Catholics would say that is also scriptural evidence of saying that Mary's our mother, right? I mean, that would be one of the...
Yeah, the beloved disciple is kind of like a symbolic personification of all of us as Christians that we take. And it says the disciple then from that hour took her into his home. And so we can always take Mary into our home to be our spiritual mother as well. And, you know, but and then she's always going to lead us closer to her son, Jesus. So don't be afraid of that. I know there's lots of stories in the Catholic Church of people saying that they started praying the rosary even before they were Catholic. They just heard of this devotion of praying the rosary, and they started praying the rosary, and then they were led, you know, deeper into the Christian faith, and they became Catholic. And so, you know, she doesn't lead them just to her. She always leads people to her son, Jesus. So this is why it's, you know, this is why we say, you know, motherhood is important. And this is why we call Mary the mother of the church. She's also the mother of God.
You know, we on Mother's Day in our church is when we typically do what we call a child dedication. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily do infant baptism. We can, but we do more of a dedication. And one of the things that we do to our congregation is we actually have them stand up and sort of take a vow as well. And the vow is that you will help raise this kid in the faith.
Yeah.
And that this kid is not just the responsibility of the parents, but it's that kid becomes part of our responsibility as the church.
Yeah.
To raise this person up and to, you know, to communicate to when they're out there in the world, if they're going astray a little bit, to remind them where the faith is and bring them back. And I think that's a beautiful part of the service, is doing that, to say to somebody too that you don't have to do this alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you've got this community.
Yep.
Which I think is what you're alluding to, right? We have this community that is going to help you in this endeavor, you know, so.
Yeah, and it really is a day, isn't it, to honor all of the women among us who have grown us along the way, but also to consider all of the godly people that God has placed in our lives to help us grow in faith. I don't know why my brain is thinking about things like my Sunday school teachers when I was a child, and my youth pastors who were monumentally instrumental to my faith journey.
Yeah. Somebody said once, I remember being in a group, and they said, and it affected me as a youth pastor, but they said, they were asking the question, how many of you remember a message from your youth pastor? And there was like maybe one hand went up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, how many of you remember what your youth pastor was like? And, you know, and a lot of times they weren't necessarily professional pastors. They were just like sponsors or people that were leading that
right,
ministry.
Or volunteers.
You know, yeah. And they would say, how many of you remember what they were like? And every hand went up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what they were saying is the way that that person lived their life was probably more important than what they said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, that just really... And, you know, it kind of hit me, too. It's like, well, I'm just doing all the studying, and they don't care what I have to say. It's more, you know, how I'm acting around them, right? You know,
that's
it really
funny.
Matters. So.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And speaking of, like, just the role of that mothering or motherly presence that we're talking about, I think, Pastor Jen, you were alluding to in your own story, and how I know that this can be, you know, echoing what you had said, a complicated day for people.
Yeah.
My wife and I also can have biological children. We fostered and adopted 4 children. And so the role of foster parent or step parent,
mm-hmm.
you know, or those who fill those roles for people, mm-hmm. right? Those are big. And that this day is definitely a celebration of all those people.
You got grandparents.
Grandparents,
yeah. Raising kids and stuff,
exactly.
Too. You know,
yeah.
They're having to step in for where their kids stepped out,
yeah,
almost, you know.
Sure.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the end of our masses on Mother's Day, we typically we'll just, at the very end, we'll just say a prayer and a blessing over mothers. But we say, you know, it's not just the biological mothers, you know, it's the spiritual mothers as well. You know, all those, so anybody could sort of play that role, even if you don't have biological children. Or even, there are mothers out there whose kids have passed away.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And
yes.
In that sense, it could be complicated because,
yep,
you know, they might feel hurt if you're just, you know, you're honoring, mm-hmm, those who are mothers of living children. But we say then, you know, so spiritual mothers as well.
Exactly. You know, and not everybody had a good relationship with their mom. And so sometimes this particular national holiday can just be complex for people. And so we hold all of that very, very gently and as graciously as we can, knowing that not everybody's experience is the same, but that God has brought us into community together, truly to care for one another. And so I am so grateful for this particular opportunity to sit around this table and chat with you guys about mothering influences, and as well to learn more about Mary, Mother of God, and the way that she is revered in Catholicism and the rest.
And we probably, you know, celebrate Mary is in the month of May because it's like springtime and there's new life, and so there's a symbolism of, you know, this is what spring does. It brings new life, and this is what mothers do. They bring new life, and Mary as well brings forth the new life in Christ. You know, she brings forth life itself, life, mm-hmm, himself, you know, Jesus. So hopefully everybody has a great Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you have any questions that you want to email for us to answer in the show, potentially, you can email us at WZMO1071@gmail.com. That's WZMO1071@gmail.com. Thank you all for joining us in our conversation this week. I'm Reverend Adam Sornchai, pastor of St. John Lutheran Windfall in Cardington.
I'm Reverend Jennifer Bass of Epworth United Methodist Church in downtown Marion.
I'm Father Ed Chiquina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Catholic Church in Cardington.
Pastor Chuck Osborne at Dayspring Wesleyan.
Take care and God bless.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times. Or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.